Welcome to the Mindful Mediums podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, an evidential spirit medium and intuitive development mentor. I talk to the dead for a living, and I help other people learn how to utilize their own gifts of spirit communication and trust more deeply in their intuition from a very grounded perspective. So if that's something you're into and you enjoy hearing about topics related to spirit communication, mediumship, psychism, tarot, the paranormal, all from a very grounded perspective, stay tuned for awesome guests, even some readings and discussion of all of these different topics from a very grounded perspective. Grab yourself a cup of coffee, pop in your earbuds, get comfortable, and get your water, because it's about to get real here on the Mindful Mediums podcast. So welcome to this newest episode of the Mindful Mediums podcast, and I'm so excited because this week isn't just a solo cast. I actually have a guest here, and this is someone who is no stranger to this podcast. She has been on before with the episodes we did, Stories from the Mediumship Closet, and this is my good friend and colleague, Jackie Hilbert.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to have you. It's so good to be able to connect with you in this way. It's been a really long time since you and I have done anything collaborative together. So I'm super excited to have you on today, especially because I feel like we're kindred in so many ways.
Absolutely. It's mutual for sure.
So for anyone who's a new listener, I'm going to go ahead and let Jackie sort of introduce herself. Describe yourself, your work, what you do, all the things.
Sure. Yourself. Yeah. So in a nutshell, I am a psychic medium and an aura reader. I've been working professionally for about 7 years now, which is so wild to say out loud. I've always been very intuitive since I was a really young girl, but went through my own little spiritual awakening around the age of 12 when I got really sick, kind of shut my abilities down and then reopened them around age 20 and just kind of took off and started diving into this work, really diving into what it means to be able to see energy, what it means to be able to connect to past loved ones, and began kind of expanding into the online space. So I do, you know, classes and mentorships and readings, and I've been able to connect with people from all over the world and the United States as well. So yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell, and I'm excited to talk about everything today.
Yeah. So for anyone who wants a little bit more of a backstory on Jackie, feel free to scroll back and listen to those episodes that we did together, Stories from the Mediumship Closet. That was retired like back in like 2019. That was a long time ago.
Years ago.
It was years ago. But it's really cool because Jackie is someone that her and I actually met via a mutual teacher and taking classes through a mutual teacher. And I think that the topic that we want to explore today is really necessary for anyone in the development space specifically, anyone looking to understand their abilities, et cetera, because this is something that I've seen come up. We've been in this sphere of development work, not only as students, but now as mentors ourselves and teachers. We're both kind of been doing this around the same amount of time. We've seen a lot, and it really shapes who you are as a teacher and a mentor. Not only, you know, your students shape you, but also your teachers shape you. So I think it's important to kind of talk about what some things to consider when looking for a mediumship teacher or mentor, and some things to really be wary of, particularly when it comes to essentially working with anyone in this space, whether it be as a client and just receiving readings and guidance, or if you're really looking for someone to help you develop your abilities. So something that I know myself, the things I looked for when I was trying to seek out a mentor were, number one, being really grounded. I needed someone who was very grounded, who was going to meet me where I was at, who had a very logical sort of foot in this world, right? Really kind of lane straddled, and their values reflected mine. And that's what led me to my first teacher, who I met Jackie through. And that has stayed the same. So I think you have to get really clear on like what it is that you are looking for and what you need. And it should complement your who you are as a person in your everyday life. What do you think about that, Jackie?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that was one of the reasons why I was also attracted to our first mentor, was because they had a very grounded and like real way of just, they were just a person that was able to connect really well to spirit and the spirit world. And I, you know, I think that that's something that I try to sort of emanate with my work, is like, I'm just a girl who has these abilities. But when we get into the mentorship space, I think we forget that part of, we are all just human first, you know, like before anything else, we're just people. So that's something that I think gets kind of lost in translation with a lot of student mentor relationships, is like, for me specifically, I put people on a pedestal immediately, and I've stopped doing this. I have learned, but I put these people on a pedestal because they're people that, you know, I've either looked up to, or I just respect how good they are at their own craft.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think is really interesting that I would caution people against too, is like, realizing that we're all just people first, and not to put people on these like major pedestals, like they're so much better than you, or they're so much more enlightened or whatever, because the reality is we're all just normal people that have these extrasensory abilities. So
yeah, I think you bring up a really valid point. There is a power dynamic that's created between the mentorship and student, mentee and student relationship, and even circle leaders. You know, if you're hosting circles and development work, anyone who is teaching in any capacity, just this work in general, there's a power dynamic that exists between us and our clients. Whether we like it or not, it's there. We have to be cognizant of it. And therefore, we have to be cognizant not only of that dynamic and the weight that people put on the words we say, the things we share, how we talk, that there's a responsibility that comes with that. So as much as we tell people, don't ever idolize or put me on any kind of pedestal, I'm just a human being, at the end of the day, there's still a responsibility there that doesn't dismiss the responsibility of being, you know, accountable for what you say or what you put into the ether, if you will. I think we also have to acknowledge too that our teachers and our mentors, we will outgrow them. Like,
yes,
recognize we will outgrow these spaces, these circles, colleagues, et cetera, because we're all walking a different path. Everybody's path looks different. And I know that you've experienced that as well. And what are your thoughts on that?
That is so funny that you bring that up, because that is also something that I subconsciously look for in a mentor as well. Like my first original mentor, before I even started doing readings or diving into, I mean, even like Reiki, like before everything, was Delilah, who you got to meet briefly. And that was one thing that I loved about her, was that she talked to me like she knew I was going to be doing this work before I even started it. And she knew that I would outgrow the space where I originally started, where I've had other mentors who, or teachers or people that I've just kind of collaborated with, where they almost respond in a negative way when they see the growth happening. And she never did. She always was so grounded and supportive in the way that she would like push. And she'd be like, yeah, you're too big for this place. Like, go. And I was like, am I? I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? And because she was amazing. She had done so many things. So that's something that I subconsciously was looking for in other mentors that I didn't even realize I was doing until actually pretty recently, like within the last 2 years or so. So yeah, I think that's important. And even as mentors ourselves, that is something that I am aware of as well. I mean, I have guided people that have such a strong ability to connect to spirit or to connect to psychic information in a way that is so different from me and is stronger than where I was at when I was a beginner.
Yeah.
So being able to like support those people, but know that ultimately they will, like, I don't want to use like the term surpass you, but they will outgrow you. It's just part of the natural like evolutionary process. You're going to find the teachers that you need for whatever phase you're in at that moment. So Yeah, I think that's a huge thing. And it's interesting that we both experienced it almost at the same time with some of even the other people that we had gone through those workshops with, where we all kind of collectively started to grow and then almost distance ourselves from that, you know, first teacher that we had, which was very interesting to me to like look back and think about how that happened so naturally.
Also recognizing that just because someone is they're good at what they do as a medium or a psychic, doesn't always mean that they're going to be the right teacher for you or that they're going to be a good teacher. That's the other thing, right? You can have someone who has amazing ability, is able to connect beautifully, but it is possible to do this work really well and to just be not so great person in, you know, their normal life. I've seen it a lot. But what I want to say is that I think the other thing to acknowledge as well is really vetting your mentors, but also understand, like we said before, they're people. Right. If you can, you know, take a couple classes with them. If they share things about their personal life on social media, make sure that your values and things are aligned with them, not just within the spirit world, but also like in life too. I think you have to find resonance on not just the spiritual level, but on like the everyday level as well too. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. One of my first, you know, before I had found that mutual teacher that we have, I was asking my guides, can you guys like help me, like bring me somebody that can like help me with this stuff, please? And I remember getting connected really randomly with this woman who I just didn't align with the way that her personal life was. She was a fantastic medium, but I didn't really align with like her personality and the way she would deliver things. And I just like felt something was off. So I totally agree with that. And also, I feel like you just sort of have your own intuitive knowing when you're supposed to work with someone as well. Yeah. Intuitively, I do feel like people will either show up in front of you or you'll be like drawn to them and be like, why am I so interested in like learning from this person or wanting to know more about this person? And, you know, not saying that. And I feel like it's interesting too, because when this first mentor was put in front of me, I thought that she was incredible. I thought we were totally going to click. And when I was talking to her, I was like, I intuitively knew this is not going to be your first teacher. And then shortly after is when we like started with the actual mentor in her workshop. So, you know, I think it's important to use your own discernment. And yeah, you're right. Like almost like not shop around, just like try different people out, because there are different teaching methods, different personalities, and you're right, different values and ethics and things like that with their own personal lives. I think that's a huge, huge part of this too.
I think you bring up a really interesting point about, you know, trusting that intuitive pull or that intuitive nudge. I truly believe that the, you know, reason, season, lifetime, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I absolutely do believe that you get what you can from the person that is meant to give you what you need, like you said, in the season of your development, and then you move to something else. So I do personally encourage the people who are going to work with me, shop around, you know, go sit with other mentors, go to different classes, go to different workshops. And granted, you may not want to do that all at the same time, because that could be really super confusing. But before you land on like, okay, this is a space that feels good for me versus like a mentor who feels good for me, take the time to explore these different teaching styles and figure out what you need. Cause you have some teachers they're very soft and supportive and encouraging. And then you have other teachers who are a little bit more stern and are really going to kind of like give you that like tough love, kind of push you, but everybody's different in what they need in order mm-hmm. to grow. Some people don't thrive in an environment that's very group centered, where you feel this sort of, even though you shouldn't feel this need to perform, but sometimes that can happen. Some people don't work well in groups, right? Sometimes people need that one-on-one sort of, you know, connection and encouragement to build that initial foundation as well. I have heard people say, you know, oh, mentorship is for when you are just fine tuning your mediumship and psychic development, go to psychic development circles first. But a lot of the people that I work with one-on-one, when they come to me, the reason they're working with me one-on-one from ground zero is because they do not feel comfortable in these group spaces. And I 100% want to offer that for everyone, right? Because I know for myself, I may have needed that, right? So I think that we have to be sort of open to what the scope is we can offer, be cognizant of when we may be moving to a place where like, I'm out of my scope. Like I know I can only take someone so far in their development. And then I'm like, all right, go check out this person that, cause I think they might be a good fit, but if they're not, don't feel like you have to, because you need to have resonance. But you know, and I've turned people down for mentorship. You are above and beyond where I could do for you right now because of where I'm at with my teaching skills and my abilities with as being a teacher. So I think you want a mentor who is not afraid to acknowledge when they don't know something, who is not going to say that they have all the answers, because I think every we're all students on this journey. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, I think that's one thing that I do in all of my mentor sessions now is I just lay it out. Listen, here is what I know from my perspective. I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. And if I don't know and you have a question, I'm just going to tell you that I don't know. So I think you're right. I think it's really important to be very honest with them and with ourselves, with how far we can take these people. And also, you know, being very straightforward about not anybody that claims that they have all of the answers or their way is the only way to do something is someone you should look at with a little bit more of a like skeptical eye, just because especially with, you know, mediumship work, there are so many different styles and ways to bring through information with psychic work as well, depending on which clair abilities are your strongest. Like there are 1,000 ways to do these things. And that is something that I consider a red flag as a mentor, is when someone is like, this is the only way, or this is the only thing. And you kind of go into this box and it's like, well, there's 1,000 ways to really do this. And you can see it with the different styles that mediums have and the different ways that psychics bring through information. So that I feel like that is a very good point. And I think that those are, for me, those are like my biggest two, making sure that you have somebody that's a little bit flexible in the way that they present information as well.
Yes. Yeah, I always tell my students, I give myself space to grow and change in my beliefs, in the way I work, because I really want that the teacher and mentor and medium I am today is not the same in 10 years time,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's the other thing, knowing that growth is happening on both sides of the coin, right? Like something I may teach today, I may not teach in 5 or 6 years because I grow and change. Right. And I think that that's something to also remember, is that it's not a hard and fast, you know?
Yeah. And as much as we are there to like guide people and to help them along, you know, with foundational stuff, I also believe that like my perspective on, you know, what X, Y, and Z aura colors mean may be completely different from what they discover from doing their own work or in diving in, or like having a symbol for something in mediumship for one person may be completely different for another. So I always do encourage as well, and I'm sure you do too, like an individual approach to like letting spirit just help you unfold your abilities. And like, then we give them the basics of like how to go about that. But yeah, I think those are my big things. I think are there any other like red flags that you can think of that like right off the bat?
Kind of like what you've already said, but mainly anyone who claims that they have figured out this secret sauce, or they have, yes. Because truthfully, they figured out their secret sauce. They figured out what works for them.
Right.
That may not always be true or work for everyone else. Right. So, and this is where I always tell people, I'm going to share with you things I found helpful. You may not find them helpful. You may find them hindering. And if you do, we will work to try something different, because I can only teach from my experiences. And that's, so I think you have to have a mentor who's willing to work with you in the way that is right for you. So I think, like you said, anyone who kind of like puts you in a box, or essentially if they put you down, I mean, because there's a difference between criticism and then there's a difference between critiquing, right? Yes. And I think that that's the other thing that I have seen. I've seen in the mediumship world is some teachers who are very much, if you weren't trained by me, then what you're doing is it's not up to par, right? According to them. And they kind of have this egotistical sort of like way that they talk about their mediumship or that they present their mediumship. So I always say, look for the ego. Anyone who is really focused on what, I mean, yes, we should be focused on like what our reputation is, but if they're outwardly focused on like gaining notoriety or recognition or fame in some capacity, that is usually a red flag for me, because it tells me that there's still some grasping, because this work is not one where you're going to get, I mean, granted, that's probably the hardest thing is you do have people when you sit with them and you do this, there's a lot of pressure, especially when you are doing it well. And then it's, you know, people are kind of telling you that, like, hey, wow, that was amazing. That really helped me. You can let it go to your head really easily if you don't keep yourself in check. So I would say the other thing is you want a mentor who's going to check you, right? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially with like what you were kind of saying is with your own inner work that you still have left to do, building on that. Because I think one thing with like what you were saying is with the ego and like having people telling you like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. Like, this was so life-changing. Like, go straight to your head. But if you get confronted with something and you haven't really done the inner work, I feel like a lot of people will sometimes hide behind that, like, well, I don't really need to like look at myself that much if I'm being told that I'm so wonderful and amazing and doing these incredible readings for people. Do I really need to look at myself? Like, what is there to look at? Sort of a thing. So does that make sense the way that I'm
absolutely
like, okay? Yeah. I think people use that sort of supercharged, what's the word that I'm looking for? Supercharged, like, confirmation that they are connected to kind of spiritually bypass doing their own reflection with their self and having that self-awareness. It almost like goes out the window sometimes. And not for everybody, but for some people, I have noticed they are a little bit more ego-driven. They might not even be aware that they're necessarily doing it either, which is another kind of scary fact. But,
and that's the accountability factor. Like, I think every good teacher and mentor should be open to keeping an open mind. And like, if people come to them with, you know, sort of questions or maybe questions about what they're doing or their ethics and things like that, they should be open to hearing that, because this field that we know is highly unregulated. And we see it in a lot of spiritual spaces where there's this, like, the power dynamic plays into play where you have people who are actually, you know, causing harm to, not saying this, I've ever seen this happen, but I mean, I'm just saying it's the potential for harm is there. The potential for all of those things is in these spaces if we're not careful. And so I think we always have to be cognizant of that aspect in this work, that the words that we say hold weight. And we should be held accountable if our actions do not align within the framework of like standardized ethics of the community as a whole. Do you know what I mean? I think
absolutely
calling people in, right?
The first person, can I name drop Teal Swan? Because that's the first person that comes to mind of like having that sort of power. And almost seeing it, being able to see it from an outside perspective, completely rooted in like the trauma of what she went through. It's she went to reclaim her power, but it's too much where she took her power back and wanted to feel powerful and then was completely driven by the ego almost as like a defense mechanism. But in the process, hurting people by like bringing in the community and like, you know, making people cut off their friends and family and all of this stuff. But I think that that's a great word to use is unregulated, because it's so accurate. I don't even know how we would start to regulate, you know, how do you do that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you obviously can't, but I mean, the thing with someone like Teal Swan, I mean, there are so many people who are operating in a similar manner that are out there who are working with people in these capacities. And we have to acknowledge one of the reasons why this is happening is you know, we're not just talking about mentors as far as like mediumship and psychic development, but like mentors spiritually, spiritual mm-hmm. mentoring. A lot of these people, what they're doing, they're kind of acting as like a pseudo therapist, and they're kind of guiding people through self-exploration, and they kind of end up in deeper waters than they know how to swim in themselves. And that's where it can get really scary. And so this is where I always tell people, granted, like we talk about how the credentialing and licensing system is very much built into the patriarchy. It's incredibly problematic to begin with. It's a fucked up system. Like there's no two ways around it. But ultimately there is some sort of repercussions if someone does cause harm to another person. And that's probably the only good thing to come out of it. Plus people have the acknowledgement and the knowledge to work with different people and to gain that understanding and, you know when they're out of their scope. Whereas you have in this field, it's sort of like the wild, wild west, you know, you don't know what yeah. you're going to get. Yeah. And it can be really scary. So I absolutely think that, you know, vetting your mentors, vetting the people you're working with, and I think anytime I start turning a blind eye to someone's criticism of someone I'm working with, that for me is like my little check to be like, ooh, like you need to check in there, because, you know, that's not always good either. Cause you can start to build this sort of unhealthy kind of like attachment to a teacher or a mentor where you feel yeah. like you need to stand up for them, right? Because, well, they're teaching me. And if someone's criticizing them, then would they criticize me? And like, it's a whole thing, right? But we should always be open to accountability and critiquing, right? Or yes. questioning, right?
Yes. 100%. Yes, you should be open to having your students question you. That's something that I also think is really important when we're doing this, is like being open to being pushed, which you already kind of mentioned that at the beginning, is like being open to your own growth while you're helping lay the foundation for somebody else. And if people are coming to question you about certain things that you have no idea where you stand on, maybe that's the universe kind of nudging you to like deep dive into that yourself. I always use that as like a reflection for my own inner work that I need to be kind of looking at when I get confronted with something, especially with mentorship. I feel like it's just a straight up mirror of like, well, I don't know what I believe like when it comes to that topic. So let me dive into that a little more. But that's a great point that you make, is like we should be open to being questioned.
I learn so much from the people I work with one-on-one and my students and my circles. They teach me. I learn from them too. Right. And yeah. I think that's where that mutual sort of like reciprocity can occur. And then also I'd say too, something else to look out for in a mentor would be like, as much as that reciprocity is important, the blurring of boundaries that comes into play. And this is something that I work on too, because I want to be there to support my mentees. You know, they get access to me via email and text message when we're working together in that time to bounce things off of me. And if they have questions in between their sessions, right? I like to make myself accessible in that way, but there still becomes a sort of like blurring of boundaries. And eventually your mentees, your students, they, as they grow and they outgrow you and they move on to other things, you become almost peers in a way, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's a very beautiful thing to see unfold. But during that process, it can be really, really kind of iffy with the boundaries.
Yeah, I think that is something that I personally have had to like double down on when I first started realizing that I was like giving, you know, really extra access to myself just because I did want to show support so much and I did want to, you know, be there and help them and all of this stuff. It really starts with like, I have to be able to help myself and have time for myself and not be thinking constantly about, you know, what the student is doing or how I can help them or how I can show up for them. And by having those boundaries, I think it's important to, you know, you have to fill your own cup up first. So that's something that I feel like I've had to really get strict with myself on in the last, you know, few years. And that's just kind of, you know, healers in general, I think we just need to have much stronger boundaries, especially when doing one-on-one work with people, because you do almost kind of, I don't know if this, like, if you feel this or not, or if you resonate with this idea, but I always sort of see myself, my younger version of myself yeah. that needed a mentor. Yep. When I was first starting, that didn't have one. I always see that in the person I'm working with. So of course I'm like, you want to bend over backwards and do all of this stuff. But really the best way to support them is by taking care of yourself first and showing up just how you are in your sessions. So, you know, just by being there and being able to help them lay that groundwork or those foundations, you're doing them the service that you can to their highest and best good, while also not completely draining yourself of all of your energy because you're giving so much. So I think that's been a huge lesson for me. I don't know about you, but that's been something that I had to like tweak and, yes. you know, toy with, but.
Yeah. And that's the tweaking and the toying with and all of that too. Like, that's the other thing, you know, recognize that your mentors and your teachers and your peers, like they're whatever relationship you're holding in this development space, that there's going to be caveats. There's going to be times when there's not resonance. There's going to be falling in and out of sync. And that is really, really normal. And it's okay to completely fall off of the map when it comes to people who you really jived with and you really resonated with early on. And now you just, you don't anymore. And you don't, and it's really interesting to see that sort of like change and to notice that sort of change.
Yeah. I mean, that was something that I noticed with our group that I still love all of them so dearly, but like that was something that just naturally sort of happened with things that information we found out about our mentor that we had kind of shared with each other, and then seeing that group and wanting to like maintain those connections. But in the end, we're all doing fine. You know, we all kind of went our separate ways, and it was really sad to like realize what was happening when it did happen. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think we really grew from that situation and knowing what we wanted with our next mentor or the next person we were going to work with. And, you know, what's interesting is now that I think about it, the mindfulness and knowing that someone has done the work on themselves is the other thing that I look for, which is, I mean, that's hard to kind of pinpoint, but after you've been around enough teachers, I feel like you start to understand sort of what that looks like on the outside. Like, they're not as reactive. They're a little bit more calm when they, you know, get confronted with different things or questions or get challenged a little bit. Like, that is something that I definitely look for. And I know that one of your people that you're working with really embodies that. Yeah. In my opinion. And now that's something that's on my list now that I kind of subconsciously look for as well, you know, after having other types of teachers that you can just kind of tell that they haven't really like.
Yeah. And I think that's really important that's a really beautiful way to put it, is that you can kind of start to see it on the outside, recognizing that we're all works in progress and that we all have, you know, things to sort of improve upon. There's always room for betterment in some way, but I think you have to be able to like see the humanness in the teacher or mentor, and remembering that, and then knowing that if eventually their values and their alignment is no longer resonating with who you are and your values and your alignment, that's okay. Like, it's okay to back away. And it's okay to feel sad about that and to kind of grieve that too, because that's something that I've noticed as well, is that I know a lot of people went through this with like, we'll name drop, like with the Doreen Virtue. She one of like the bigger sort of names in the new age space, and she taught classes she had tons of Oracle. I mean, she was just, if you don't know the story of Doreen Virtue, we're going to spare you that. You can give it a Goog and you'll see what we're talking about. But if you know the story of Doreen Virtue, I know she had many, many students, and I can't imagine what that would have felt like to have a teacher basically renounce everything that they've taught you, everything they've put out, and just wipe their hands clean of it, you know, sort of walk the other path. And how that, I feel like that would really affect your spirit as a student. But I think we have to understand that, like, you get what you need from the person, the teacher, the mentor, when you need it. and you take what you need and you leave the rest behind. And you have to kind of cut that cord, so to speak, and let go of putting that person on a pedestal.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that there's this sort of phenomena that happens specifically for some reason in the spiritual, you know, realm of mentors and teachers, where they'll go, you know, completely renouncing everything, you know, I'm done, I'm, you know, committing to following a religious, you know, path or whatever, or the other way where it's like 0 to 1,000 and they're like, you know, saying kind of all the like buzzwords of like starseed and I'm here to save the planet and all of these things, which, you know, it's just interesting that it's one or the other. It's like people get to a certain point in this work where it shows if you don't have that like solid foundation within yourself almost. But it's very interesting, you know, with Doreen Virtue, I definitely agreed with that because I have almost like every deck of hers. I just loved the art, the way that she was able to convey certain messages and things like that. So that was a tough one. And you're right. I think there is a very strong grief process with any mentor when they don't almost like live up to your expectations, or you're expecting them to, I don't know, maybe I'm expecting them to like fizzle out quietly. And for the last like 3 mentors I've had, that has not happened. So very interesting. But I do think that there is something to be said about like, there are these extremes that we've seen. And now because of social media, how public they can get, with like when Doreen Virtue renounced everything, I mean, it was like everywhere. It was like all over the internet. I got an email blast or 3 from people talking about it. And it really can affect a lot of people at once, it seems. So going the other way too, that's the other thing, is like everything's so public these days. You can't just.
Yeah. But I also think that comes down to the accountability factor as well. Again, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, if you want to make that change, you know, how do you do that? There's something to be said for staying true to yourself and your soul and your path and where you're headed, but also remember the impact that you had, right? And it's impact over intention. And I think that that's really something that gets forgotten when it comes to spiritual spaces. It's like, well, that wasn't my intention. Well, that was the impact you had.
And right.
You have to take accountability for that, particularly when it comes to what you share, how you share it, what you say, et cetera. The internet is forever. That's what I always have to remind myself. Like, that's why I'm very careful about what I say, but I also am very transparent on the internet because I want people to realize, like, I'm human. I grow. I'm going to change. I'm going to do different things. I'm going to show up in different capacities. Kind of coming to a close and kind of a wrap up here, what would you say, Jackie, are some of the most important takeaways for someone who is looking to find a mentor? If you could go back and tell yourself at the beginning of your development, you could tell Jackie year one, what would you say to her when it comes to finding teachers, walking this path, et cetera?
I would definitely say something similar to what I say when people are asking for a recommendation to go get a reading from someone, is like word of mouth, like start asking, talking to people. And also you don't have to pick the first person that is put in front of you. Like, you can use your own discernment and intuition to kind of guide you to who you want to work with. The other thing is, I would definitely take a bigger look at the person's values and the way that they approach ethics of readings and see if that aligns with me. Get some opinions from other people and don't go with just like the first Sally Sue that like walks through the door. Like, use your discernment and try a different like approach with like different classes and see who resonates with you before you commit to working with, you know, a specific person. And also just seeing, you know, if their values align with you, I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I love that. I wonder if I could go back and tell myself one thing, what would it be? I think it would be along the lines of what you've said, but I would also tell myself, to give myself space and time in between to grow and to kind of float and try to find my voice in between, you know, finding teachers. I want to also emphasize that you don't always have to be under the guidance or direction of someone. There's right. sort of this like myth of like always pushing development and this and that. Yes, development is important, but you don't always have to have a one-on-one mentor or someone or a teacher, right? Once you've laid those foundations and you've kind of got your foot under your belt, when do you seek mentorship? And I think for me, you know, like, you know, seeking mentorship in the beginning, I think, is important. If you don't work well in a group setting and you don't have access to circles and you just don't feel confident enough yet to build that confidence, then go into circles and go into the circle space and play around with that and find, and then maybe your next mentor will come across them, but let yourself play a little bit, you know,
absolutely
between teachers. Any teacher who doesn't want you to work with anyone else, that's
huge,
a big red flag.
Huge red flag.
Yeah. I'm not saying, I mean, granted, I understand they don't want you to work with anyone else when they're working with you for a period of time. Because that can be confusing.
Yeah.
You know, especially if they're teaching certain structured styles and things like that to help you deepen, you know, what you're doing. Cause I know I took classes from like multiple people at once, and it just confused the shit out of me. So mm-hmm. like, I really wouldn't want, I don't recommend my students do that. I'm like, oh yeah, go to this circle over here if I can't host circle. But like, as far as like one-on-one stuff, I'm like, it's kind of, I would wait, you know, one at a time. Cause you just don't want to confuse yourself, cause everybody works a little bit differently. So give yourself the space to breathe. So Jackie, where can everyone find you?
So your beautiful listeners can find me at etherealjack.com and on Instagram at etherealjackyt, on TikTok and Facebook. And I think those are the only places I'm at. And it's just at etherealjack.
And what services do you offer currently?
So currently I do offer a 6-week mentorship, which is on my website. You can look at the breakdown. Each plan is, you know, individualized per person. So I do, you know, psychic foundations, mediumship foundations, really whatever the person needs in that moment. And then I also do aura and psychic readings, and I have an email offering as well. And if any of your listeners would like to book with me, I do have a code podcast for 20% off any reading. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This was such a great conversation. I think much needed too for what's going on in the world right now.
Absolutely. It was amazing to have you again. And I'm sure you'll be back, because these episodes that we do together are just so fluid and fun. And I just appreciate you being here. And I'm so glad that we got to reconnect in this way. Until next time. That wraps it up for the Mindful Mediums podcast. You can find all the information on Ethereal Jack in the show notes. And of course, if you are interested or you have questions, one other thing, Jackie, when you are going to mentor someone, do you offer any kind of consultation or discovery call before that starts, in case mentoring?
Mm-hmm, yeah. So I do like to just hop on a 15-minute Zoom call with people, just to make sure that I can help them, sort of like we were saying, make sure I can help them, make sure our goals are kind of aligned, and then just see if we're a good fit personality-wise as well. So if anybody wants that, they can shoot me an email or go to my website and just send me a message on there. It's all set up on the mentorship page.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. Yay,
thanks for having me. So
yes,
exciting.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that really wraps it up for the Mindful Mediums podcast. Until next time, stay grounded, and I'll see you soon.